All right. So for some reason, we're not on Facebook, but that's okay. Mark Zuckerberg will have to tune in on some other platform to see me today. And when people are starting to pile in. So we're going to play the intro, and then Alfie, you and I will get started. Here we go.
I'm David C. Barnett, and you're tuned in to Small Business and Deal Making, the podcast, YouTube channel, and blog where I talk about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses while controlling risk. So if you're looking to take control of your future through buying a business one day, or if you already own a business and you're looking to grow or exit, you've come to the right place. I talk about interesting things, I talk to interesting people, and I answer your questions every week right here. So be sure to hit like and be sure to hit subscribe, and let's get to it. Are you thinking of growing your business or beginning a journey into entrepreneurship? Take a shortcut to success by buying an existing and profitable business the right way. Visit businessbuyeradvantage.com and learn more about my online training, group coaching, and consulting services designed to help you win.
All right, welcome everyone. Today I've got a very special guest tuned in from the UK. Alfie, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks, David. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. And so we're going to be talking about using data and online resources to find businesses that might fit a certain profile for a searcher that's looking for just the right business to buy. But to begin, I'd like to get a little bit of background on yourself. Tell us about yourself.
Excellent. Firstly, thanks for having me, David. I really appreciate it. My background is predominantly in tech rather than in M&A and business buying. So I have been in startups, predominantly sort of data science and AI based, for the last almost 10 years, and worked in lots of different businesses within that. And I've, been in data science consultancy firms. I've run my own marketing agency. I did the whole digital nomad thing for a while, which was great, traveling the world, lots of sunshine, lots of beaches, and decided to settle down in Manchester, which was an odd choice given where I'd been. I'm back in the
You'd
UK.
had enough sunshine.
I'd had enough sunshine. Yeah, so much enough sunshine and coconut rum. Yeah, so back in the UK, my previous startup, Lix, has been doing very well. I've been in sort of business data for the last sort of 3 or 4 years predominantly. And a year ago, I was approached by the guys at BizCrunch, one of which my co-founder Adam had exited his previous startup and got into this whole, brick and mortar mature business buying process, and had found that in the UK, the data finding was a bit of a mess, and that's my specialty. So Adam and I have teamed up to build BizCrunch, and that's why I'm here today.
Awesome. So why don't you give me a little bit of an idea of what the typical searcher in the UK might normally be doing or have access to? And keeping in mind that there's sort of a wealth of information that is far more abundant even in the UK than in some other countries, but it still leaves something to be desired. So why don't you describe that landscape to us?
Absolutely. Well, we'll start with the wealth. You're absolutely right. We're extremely lucky to have Companies House in the UK, which is an open database of every registered company. The problem with using the Companies House data is that firms that turn over less than 10 million in revenue obviously don't have to report their revenue or their profit, which can make it difficult when searching. And you can ascertain that from the accounts that are listed there, but it's not readily available. For the most part, when people are looking for off-market deals in the UK, there are kind of two ends of the spectrum. So they're either using repurposed credit referencing tools, such as Endol or CreditSafe, which are excellent at what they do, but not built with M&A in mind. Or at the kind of upper end of the M&A market, you have some tools like Bureau van Dijk and Fame, Moody's tools, which are extremely expensive. They're incredible at what they do, but it's more for much larger mergers and acquisitions. So if
Bigger
you're looking
things,
to,
yeah.
yeah, absolutely. So if you're looking to acquire a company with under about 15 million in revenue, you're generally having to work around using a couple of different tools, sewing together this sort of patchwork of different data sources that might not communicate with each other. Maybe all the data doesn't match up. Which is a kind of slow and tedious, frustrating process for people who just want to talk to potential, business owners who might sell their companies.
So then describe what BizCrunch then is doing.
So BizCrunch is bridging that gap. So we've built a tool specifically designed with M&A in mind, particularly for this sector of the market, looking for businesses that turn over between 1 and maybe 15 million a year. And what we're using is really leveraging technology to our advantage. So instead of having to use a massive manpower to, you know, analyze and go through all the different data points and looking at the P&L sheets and all of the data that is amazingly available on Companies House, we've worked with data partners to look at all of that, provide very accurate revenue and profit estimations, you know, based on a number of factors, looking at kind of debtor days and industry benchmarks and all that kind of thing. We also have a great database of direct owner email addresses. So if you want to do outreach, you know, you're not getting lost in an inbox at an info at, it would be David C. Barnett's email address if they wanted to buy your company, right, for example. And a host of other sort of intelligent analysis and filtering factors that have been designed through me spending a lot of time talking to people sort of in the trenches on the front line. You know, what is it that you need to know most? What's the bit of data that helps you turn a list from, you know, a spray and pray, let's send out 1,000 letters and hope one of them gets back, to actually let's find 100 absolutely perfect companies for me that are in the right place to sell.
So let's talk about the sort of use case scenario for this, because I mean, in North America, you know, a lot of the kind of data that you have access to in the UK, it's just not available here. So, sure. So oftentimes you will get, for example, someone will say, I'm looking for a machine shop in upstate New York with this size of staff or this amount of revenue. Mm. You can't find that information. So what they end up doing is they end up, you know, Googling or using Yellow Page data or some other kind of, you know, association lists, and they'll create, maybe with the help of a VA or some other very laborious kind of tactic, they'll create a spreadsheet with all of these machine shops, and then they'll try to figure out, you know, let's look at their websites. Let's see if there's any indication on the website to how many staff they might have or how big they might be. And then you end up mailing letters or phoning them or trying to find the owners on LinkedIn or something like that. And oftentimes we have to use language that allows those people to sort of self-select, like say, mm-hmm. we're looking for a business that looks like this. And sometimes people do or don't fit the profile. And you're right. It's a lot of shooting into the dark, not yeah. really knowing, you know, if your letter even landed, if it was read by the right person, if they fit the profile or not, why aren't they responding, et cetera. Whereas if you can narrow it down to 15 targets, you could get in your car and you go visit them. Like, sure. it would change it from a marketing effort to a sales effort. Right. And so, yeah. So what do you think is best? You want to walk us through a sort of a demo or an example, or do you want to give us maybe a success story from someone who's worked with you?
I have an excellent success story that I actually found out about today. So our live site has only actually been up since October of last year. So not many months now. And our very first ever paying user is on the brink of his first acquisition through using BizCrunch. So he was previously an architect. He's looking at architect firms. I believe that's the company. I haven't had a chance that this is quite fresh information for me. And there will be a big use case built out of this and a nice testimonial. So yeah, we are fairly new, but it's already happening. And he said that it was the use of those owner emails that really helped him to get into touch that bit faster. But let's do a demo. Maybe that's the best thing I can do and show your users how it works. Yeah,
sure. So here I'll do the screen share here. We'll show your screen up there. Okay.
Okay. Excellent. So if anybody signs up for BizCrunch, and please do, every account comes with 25 free credits. So you can get in there and play around with it yourself. I know lots of people like to get hands-on with these things. I do personally. Once you've signed up, this is the first screen that you'll see, and it's a fairly intuitive search process, and it's designed to hone you down to a perfect set of results. So in this location tab, we have kind of one of our first bits of secret sauce, which is we also provide trading addresses as well as registered addresses. So in that company's house data, we'll give you the registered address. But for example, mine's an office in central London that I've never been to. It just looks great on my materials, right? And I'd have to wait for that letter to be sent to me, or maybe it's from an accountant's office. So we have a growing database of, you know, the actual place of business. So it's going to help that letter get read. Even sooner. We'll keep this fairly broad. We'll look in the UK. You can search, you know, anywhere within the UK, search within regions or cities, towns. And then we move on to industry. So I have the standard Companies House SIC code. I know that in Canada and North America, you use NAISC. Is that right? Slightly different.
Well, the SIC codes are still being used by some, you know, organizations and databases, and then they also have the NAICS codes too. So, and there's different iterations of these hierarchies too. So it can be a little bit confusing sometimes.
Okay, absolutely. So we have the tree from Companies House. I am actually working on a better system of classifying businesses, because I'm not sure how it works there. But for example, lots of different types of companies can get kind of lumped together under one code in the UK, which if you're searching for something very niche, You know, I had a demo the other day with a gentleman who was looking to buy companies that make mobility scooters for older people. But sadly, it's the same code as it is for motorcycle companies, which is obviously not particularly useful to him. So I am working on a better classification system that will be coming in the next sort of month or so. But we'll pick an industry from here. I mean, let's go with manufacturing, because I know that there's lots of great results within there. And then as we guided through this search, we end up on revenue. So if you'll see here, we have this box ticked, which is estimated BizCrunch revenue. So that's where we've applied this algorithm to the balance sheet, the P&L that we found on Companies House to estimate a revenue. And this is really important to leave this switched on, because only 3% of companies with a turnover of only over 1 million but below 10 million actually report their revenue. So okay. if you are using one of those other tools, the credit referencing tools, for example, you can't search on their estimated revenue because they don't have that figure there. And they will offer all kinds of workarounds. You know, one of them is the number of employees at a company, but that's not always a great allegory for how much they turn over. We'll look in the 1 to 10 range because that gives us a nice sort of broad selection of results. Before we do smart acquire filters, actually, I'll quickly go through the advanced filters. So within here, you can get as granular as you like with your results. I won't take you through all of them because we don't have time on this demo to go through every single one. But you can filter on, you know, the age of an owner, how many PSCs, persons of significant control, there are. You can go on to the balance sheet and search by. You can get granular with, you know, assets, liabilities. You can look at profit, whatever that happens to be. But to kind of shortcut that process, what we've put together are these things called smart acquire filters. And they are sort of clusters of data points from those advanced filters that we work together with lots of people buying companies in this range to see what the most important factors were for them. So we have leverageable. So there's a low debt to asset ratio. There's something there to be borrowed against if it's for an LBO, for example.
Okay.
Profitable. It's kind of what it says on the tin. An established company has been around for more than 15 years. So, you know, it survived a recession. It's not likely to be disappearing anytime soon. Retiring owner, so the majority shareholder or shareholders are 55 plus, so not quite retirement age, but if you made them a good offer, they, you know, got one eye on a sangria on a beach somewhere and they'd be ready to sell. And simple ownership is really interesting. So this is one that users have requested that gets used quite a lot. And it makes sure that they have a maximum of three PSCs, so three majority shareholders, and one parent company. So it's not already part of a group somewhere.
So this is to filter out the sort of conglomerate type ownership sort of structures.
Absolutely. I won't put all of these on because if you switch all of these filters on, it really narrows down my database. You know, companies that match all of these filters are about 5% of companies at most. So it's a really limited number. And they will all be what we call premium companies, which I'll explain when we look at the search results. But if we look at, you know, some of the most popular ones, let's do retiring owner and maybe leverageable. And that's going to give us a nice set of results. And while that loads, because there are a lot of numbers for it to crunch there, I'll explain that when the search results appear, it's a kind of snapshot of what we've got on these companies. So I have a ton of data points on all these businesses, you know, addresses and 3 years worth of financial data. The majority of that is in the export. So I don't want to kind of overload people on this page, but it's just to make sure that these are the right kind of companies that you'd like to purchase. Okay, so we have our set of results here. Any company that you can see, which is this kind of gold background, which is anonymized, these are what we call premium companies. So they are firms that match a kind of matrix of those smart acquire filters. That means they are the kind of very best potential prospects in the UK. So if we look at, you know, the company at the very top here, they've got revenue of 1 million, profit of 88K, so 8.8% net profit, a decent debt ratio, so, you know, 0.3, so there's something there to be borrowed against. I have the email addresses of the owners. That's a great company to be reaching out to in the manufacturing industry, for example.
Okay. So what we're looking at here, is this just sort of the public try it out sort of interface, or is this, are you actually signed in as a user here?
So I'm signed in as a user, but it doesn't matter what level you are. Everybody can see the same thing. So the only difference is when it comes down to credits. We run a credit-based system.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So when you first sign up and you try it for free, you can see the same results that I can see here. But you'll only have 25 credits to spend, which will get you maybe 25 standard companies or, you know, one premium company with the email addresses. You can check that out on our pricing page. So I wanted this to be open to everybody because I feel like it's really important to get a real feel of a product before you sign up and pay for it. So I wanted everybody to have the kind of full access to see, you know, what it can do and see the power of that filtering system.
So the whole idea is that I could set my search results and just see how many results will be there. And then to actually get that information, then I need to purchase credits. This is how you're monetizing the data and the tool that you built.
Absolutely. So you would charge at the point of export, which is also part of the reason why the premium companies are anonymized, so that you're not going to come here and search and then just, you know, run off and find those companies. You're going to have to export to get that data. But the most valuable data all exists in that export. So that's where we'll have the, you know, the owner's email address and those trading addresses. And you can see a bit more information on some companies here. So we have this sort of see more, and we can look at this firm here and, you know, two owners with the same name, which is odd, both based in the UK, you know, born in the 1960s. Maybe approaching retirement, maybe ready to sell. And at this point, you're going to select your options. If there's more companies here than you have credits for, you could buy some extra credits, or you could maybe go back and add some additional filters.
Okay.
You can save your filter set. So if you've got a huge search like this with, you know, 8,000 companies, maybe I want to save this and come back and play around with a few different parameters to eke those out, and, you know, come back to those at a later date.
Okay. And so would geography be one of the filters here as well, if you wanted to stay within a certain corner of the UK?
Absolutely. So we could really limit this. If I, you know, switched over to my location and we did Manchester in the UK, I'm sure we would go down to within a few hundred. 58. So even fewer, which will give us a nice number to export, actually, if we wanted to take a look at an export. So this might fit within, you know, more within the kind of credit limit that you have. You can always roll over this icon here, and we'll explain sort of how many companies there are and how many credits it would cost you to export that. So it's completely open at any time how you can get that export.
Okay. And since you've started up, how's the uptake been? How are you growing as far as the user base?
Uptake has been good. I mean, obviously, you know, with any startup, it can be slow at the beginning. You know, you need some brand recognition. This is an industry where people go quite a lot on recommendation. They want to use something they know somebody else has used, which is, you know, it's a bit of a slow start at times. But actually, all of our users that have signed up and paid for it have stayed with us and have recommended other people. And we've, you know, introduced to people at industry events, and it is growing steadily, and word of mouth is kind of buzzing for this, because it is something that the UK has been waiting for. I think that the, like I said, you know, there are a lot of very talented people spending a lot of time doing very tedious data entry work when, you know, BizCrunch could do it for them, and they can snap to the bit that they're good at, which is, you know, the people part of this. Speak to that business owner, you know, ask them whether it's for sale and begin that kind of route. This is the part that nobody wants to do.
And so now you mentioned that part of the information was estimated. So you came up with some kind of methodology to estimate the revenues of some of those smaller businesses. Have you got some kind of feedback system in place to try to refine that over the course of time?
I don't have an automated system in place, but that's actually a really good idea, and I could add that to my roadmap. So what we have done to test this in the early days is talk to some business owners who were happy enough to share their revenue numbers with us, so that we can see how accurate we are. We are fairly close. I mean, again, you know, we don't have to be accurate to the pound. This is just to start a conversation. You know, if, you know, Hockley International, the top of these results are turning over actually 2.8 and not 2.6, it's not the end of the world. We were in the right kind of ballpark to get started. But actually, to give some live feedback is a really great idea. Something that I might add. But again, you know, so far people have been very happy, and I'll explain it in the results. So when you look at these, where this tilde, this kind of wiggly line exists, that means it's an estimate. If I don't have enough data to provide an accurate estimate, I will give you a range, which is, as you see here, that's quite rare. And there's normally, you know, a discrepancy in the way they filed their accounts that's led to that issue. But as you can see in this range, the majority of companies are estimated, because, you know, most people aren't reporting their revenue if they don't have to.
Okay. And so so what would you like to show us next? Are you going to show us an export?
Yes, I will show you an export. I mean, it's not a particularly sexy thing to show, because it is just a spreadsheet. But absolutely, let's go through it and you can see the data that's there. Again, this might take a moment because there is a hell of a lot of data. So one of the things that we've done is to split the export up into various tabs. Because I didn't want to overload you with one huge, crazy spreadsheet. What we have is this initial tab. In fact, actually, you're not going to be able to see that, because I need to change my sharing settings, because we're sharing a tab, aren't we?
Here, let me take us back up here into the up close. And
Okay. Okay.
Oh, there you go. Here, just a second. Let me change it. Add to stage. There we go. Wow. Okay. Excellent. Wall of numbers. Okay. There you go.
a wall of numbers, and this is just part of it. So this is page one. This is the key data. So it's mostly what you saw on the search results, but there's a bit of extra information here. So this is where I include the websites. If we have them, I have those for about 80% of companies in the UK. And that's a kind of growing list that we're adding to all the time. We have the contact tab. So contact is where we will find direct owner email addresses. I have those for about 40 to 50% of companies in the UK. I'm adding those all the time. It can be a slow process to find, you know, the owner's email address for maybe 500,000 companies. But it's about 40%. It can depend on industry, how many of those we have. You'll notice that I have a blank column here marked LinkedIn. So I am beginning to find direct owner LinkedIn profile links, which is an even slower process. I've got about 3% of business owners covered at the moment. When we get to about 10%, I will release that. So that will be coming soon as well. But just giving people more options to make that initial contact. You know, like if your letter hasn't had an answer and your email hasn't had an answer, maybe LinkedIn's the next best step for you.
Right.
Mail merge. So this is a really simple feature, and I don't know why nobody else did this in with the other tools yet, but we've just formatted a spreadsheet that can be plugged into a mail merge tool. So, you know, my business partner, Adam, this was his pet peeve when he was searching for companies, is that they would provide the entire address in one cell of a spreadsheet, and he would spend hours sort of reformatting these spreadsheets to send letters. So this is his favorite thing on the whole tool, is that he can just plug this straight in and it will send all his letters for him. And then financial. So 3 years worth of financial data for the most part for most companies. And, you know, you can jump in here and make sure there aren't any huge anomalies, everything as it should be. We kind of post COVID enough now that there shouldn't be any big sort of jumps in numbers. And that's everything, you know, hopefully sort of neatly presented. So it's not, like you said, a wall of numbers.
So yeah, let me zoom back out here. So the, you know, it's interesting because when I'm talking with people about the whole task of going out and, you know, basically there's two ways to find a business. You either go to the brokered channel and you talk with business brokers who've already found a business that wants to sell. That's mm-hmm. one avenue. And then the people that want, you know, something very specific, maybe they're going to go pursue a proprietary search. They're going to go out and talk to business owners themselves directly. The fact that the market lacks transparency, and the fact that the market, you know, there's difficulty in finding information, et cetera. This is what creates a lot of the opportunity, because it's only the people that are willing to roll up their sleeves and do the work that are going to be able to come through. Do you anticipate this is going to create, you know, as it's adopted and more searchers come on board, do you think that there's going to be sort of, you know, a lot more outreach to some of these business owners, in particular the ones that happen to have really good numbers that they're reporting?
I think that there potentially could be an increase as BizCrunch grows. But I think in general, the amount of people that are, you know, looking to buy established businesses is growing all the time anyway. I mean, obviously, I know that, you know, you have a lot of followers, a lot of people come and listen to you for that exact purpose. And know in the UK, we have a lot of courses and groups and meetups, and this has become an increasingly popular thing. And I think it's actually very important that it grows in the UK, because we have a ticking time bomb of an aging population. So we discovered that 35% of companies in our database are owned by a business owner at or approaching retirement age. And from our research, it looks like business brokers in the UK are only really selling sort of 1 in 10 listed firms on their platform. So mm-hmm. we're kind of marching slowly towards a situation where there are a lot of jobs and great companies that are kind of put at risk. So I think it's a good thing that we give people better access, and that hopefully we can encourage more businesses to sell. It may be the case that you know, people need to improve their outreach if they are competing against other people. It's also part of the reason why we gated those, what we call premium companies as well, because, you know, I didn't want everybody to have access to those business owners. I don't want them to get overloaded. You know, I want them to have some protection there. So, you know, at the point at which you are performing your export, you know, if you are going to spend those extra credits on those premium companies, then you're probably more likely to be a serious buyer. So that's how we've put that safeguard in place for that.
Yeah, I mean, just from how I understand it, I mean, my my sort of guess will be that some popular categories of business, you know, yeah, a lot of users will, you know, go after what appear to be the great businesses. But I'll tell you where I can see this being extremely valuable is for someone who's got a very specific investment thesis of a very specific niche type of business, size of business, et cetera. And using your tool is just going to help them be able to find those opportunities much more quickly than they may be able to doing sort of a traditional, you know, sort of hunting through associations or networking or anything like that. So I could see where it would be able to save someone some time, you know, in particular, if they're not familiar with a given industry and they aren't aware of some of the players that might be further afield from where they're located.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's something that we want to build into the tool as we go forward, is to look at people's searching patterns and maybe suggest companies within that they may not have noticed, or maybe even suggest sort of vertical or sort of lateral buys as well. You know, if I know what your current investment thesis is or what kind of companies you buy, you know, maybe I can suggest more companies that you might not have thought of that might serve your niche well, you know, somebody that might be a supplier for you or another area or whatever that might be. So these are all things we will add. And that's the kind of beauty of building a great database with all that metadata and a kind of AI ranking system, is that I can start to put people in touch with better businesses. And yeah, help them in that way. And yeah, especially if you are in a niche, maybe you can sign up for alerts, you know, particularly when a new company pops up, because I am monitoring Companies House regularly. So every month I get a fresh feed of data. So, you know, maybe a new company's entered your revenue markers, you know, whatever your revenue range might be, maybe they've filed their new accounts and they've just popped in. So absolutely, we'd love to help people in that way.
So you and I met a few weeks ago and you showed me some of this, and that's why I wanted to have you come on the show, because I saw immediately how useful this would be for some people in the UK looking for businesses there. You mentioned the credits before, so can you describe, you know, the investment? Like, is there a monthly membership fee in addition to purchasing credits? Like, what does it look like from the point of view of someone who is thinking they might want to sign up for this?
Absolutely. So we run a subscription-based business, and it is a number of credits per month. So you can always top up within that month, you know, if you want, you have a particularly sort of heavy need for companies to reach out to, but it will be a monthly subscription. We've done the credit-based system because I mean, this was my lack of knowledge of the industry at first, because I come from a tech background where, you know, the more money you pay, the more credits you get and the more features that you get. But actually, from talking to people in the industry, lots of people wanted the additional features. They wanted the smart acquire filters. They wanted the email addresses, but they only reach out to 100 companies a month, you know, or maybe less if they are in a particular niche. So we went back to the drawing board and changed our pricing system so that, you know, you can pick and choose how you spend those credits and how you export and how much you spend each month. So you don't have to be on our kind of top plan to get all of the bells and whistles. You can have full functionality with you know, 100, 500 credits a month, whatever that might be, so that you're not, you know, limited by the amount of outreach that you do, because it massively varies from business buyer to business buyer.
Okay. And we've actually got some people here that are saying hello from the UK. Victor's in Nottingham. He's just given the video a like. And please, wherever you're watching, hit the like button. It is an important thing for the algorithm. It helps to show, you know, the AIs and everything that the content is good. And Alfie was good enough to actually create a discount code for the audience. So if you go into the show notes of today's YouTube broadcast or the show notes for any of the audio feeds, if you happen to be listening to this, there is a link. There's an affiliate link that it will credit the sale to me. So Alfie is sponsoring today's show as well. But there's also a discount code that will give you a discount off the normal pricing. So you get to save money while helping to support the show. And I want to thank you very much for that, because I know that it's going to be very useful for people that that are going to be in that category of looking for specific businesses in the UK.
Absolutely. Happy to help. And like I said, you know, we are the kind of new kid on the block. So, you know, we're always trying to work with people to help them get in and try it out, because, you know, I am a massive advocate for it, obviously. And I do believe that when most people try this out for the first time, if they have been using those other methods, you know, they are so impressed by it that, again, they will stay with us and they will talk to other people about it. So, yeah, please do sign up and, you know, even sign up for the free plan. Like I said, you get access to everything. You can go in there and get a real feel for how it works and how it might benefit you.
Yeah. Andre says hi from Kent. Another person, another viewer in the UK. Good to see you today, Andre. Yeah. All right. Awesome. This is great, Alfie. Thanks for the demo. I can certainly see the value in it. And for anyone out there in the UK that's looking to buy a business that's doing a proprietary search, I think they should definitely get the discount code, go try it out. There is a sort of a free test drive option available there as well, right? Sign up with the link in the description down below and use the discount code and save yourself some money.
Absolutely. And to anybody watching, if they have any questions or they want to go through it with me, then feel free to reach out to me on, you know, LinkedIn or the chat widget on our site. We'll speak to someone on our team and come through to me. I'm more than happy to kind of walk you through it on an individual basis if you need a little bit of help.
Awesome. All right. With that, thanks, Alfie, for stopping by. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks very much. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, how can you learn more about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses? Easy. Go over to my blog site, davidcbarnett.com, where you can learn more about me and how I work with my clients. You can learn more about my books and courses that I've prepared for you. You can find out how to subscribe to my email list, the YouTube playlists, and more. There's literally hundreds of hours of content there, all for free, and I'd love for you to be my guest.